chapter 6. And kids, you are not off the hook. I am still talking to you, and I will still be calling upon you. Children, if you look closely, they're a model of genuine faith and of genuine joy. They don't care what people will think when they rejoice, when they celebrate. And they're so fast to trusting. Amen. So we should learn from them. And I hope that you gain that clear distinction that Jesus is saying, come to me, not with your careers, not with your houses, not with your cars, not with your accomplishments. Come to me like a child does, fully in your heart, fully trusting. And I'm just going to read a little bit from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. And I want us to see if you see kids here, okay? Because we're talking about kids. We should be humble enough to see, however messy kids can be, they're such a blessing. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Let's pick it up there. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Kids, who worries more, your mom or your dad? Oh, that's good. Silence is always good. Saul was silent, right? Don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body. What will you wear? Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Let's just pause there. This is crazy. There's actually something more important than my peanut butter. There's something actually more important than what we wear. And I really think that's our relationships. Look at the person that you love right now, whether it's your kid, your spouse, your mom, your brother. Just realize, hey, this is why we have a family service. This is why we have family gatherings, because deep inside, even though sometimes we won't get along, deep inside, God has connected us. And there is a relationship that we must, what? Take care of. Because God is just so good. Now, here we go. Kids, let me know if you do this. Listen to verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. Raise your hand, kids. Do you watch birds? Any bird watchers here? Yeah, right? Okay. Maybe this is a better question. Any bird chasers? Right? Yeah, right? We see the birds, what do? Oh boy, Naomi, remember at SeaWorld, we were having a dessert, a big chocolate pie, and I just turned to talk to Naomi, or turned to get ketchup, and a seagull out of nowhere just comes and takes our chocolate pie. I'm like, he didn't even give us a tip. And so no wonder we chase birds, right? But isn't that interesting? Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap. They just steal cakes, no, or store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Verse 28. And why do you worry about clothes? Here's another one, kids. Do you do this? See how the lilies of the field grow. Any flower pickers? Kids, who likes to pick flowers? Who likes to smell roses? Yeah, see? Who likes to pick up daisies, right? Right? What's that weed that grows in the front? Dandelions. We got lots of those in California. And people look at them as like they're just weeds, but Rosie and the rest of the kids, they love playing with it, usually, right, blowing the dandelions and they fly. But Rosie just loves picking the yellow flowers. And we were at Knowles last night, and you have wildflowers growing in the concrete, in the cracks. of his drive, right? And isn't that interesting? God, Jesus is saying, hey, pay attention to the lilies. Are you so worried? Are you so busy? You're not even doing what the kids do. And they look at these flowers and they enjoy them. It's just so remarkable. I'm going to continue, verse 28. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow, and thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. I love this, verse 31. And we'll end with the next verse 33. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need, that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Amen. Kids, can you hug your parent really quick for me? Oh, yes. All right. My question now is this. Kids, what makes your parent special? If I have any children that are bold enough, Come over here, and we will share your answer. What makes your mom or your dad special? And all the parents looked at their kids. You better say something nice. There's lots of content to share there, right? All right, David, what makes your mom or your dad special?
That they be kind to me.
Ooh, that they are kind to you. Score. Let's give him a round of applause. Come here. All right. What makes your mom or dad special?
My dad plays FIFA with me.
That's so wonderful. Yes, come up. If you're ready, if you're a child, just come on up. Just come on up, and we'll make a line. What makes your mom or your dad special?
They help me.
All right, say that again. I don't think they heard you.
They help me.
Awesome. Thank you. Let's give her a round of applause.
They're fun.
Ooh. Now, I'm not limiting it to just parents. We're including grandparents, because they're a lot of fun, too, okay? Okay.
My dad plays hurling with me.
That's so wonderful. Okay, turn around and go ahead.
They do lots of kind things for me.
They
give me gifts.
They give you gifts.
My dad's funny and my mom is a great teacher.
She's looking for a tenor, that's for sure. Didn't you go already? You have one more thing? Okay.
I love them.
Aww. Parents, I want us to notice, right? Trying to gather what we've learned here, trying to gather that as adults, the disciples were trying to stop the children from coming to Jesus, and Jesus says, no, let them come to me, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And listen now to what the kids appreciate about parents. And let me ask you in this list, was it your car that made you special? Well, if it's an F1 car, you're pretty special. Was it your clothes that made you special, parents? Was it your workplace that made you special to them? Was it your clothes? What was it then? It was our relationship with them. It was our time with them. It was our sincerity with them. The earnest time, the manifestation of our love, cherishing them. I heard a preacher say that he'd been by the bedside of so many people that were their deathbeds. And one of the biggest requests or regrets that they have on their deathbed was not being able to spend enough time with their family or their children. Beloved, if we are to follow Christ and if we are to become more like the kingdom of God, let us learn from Jesus' example. Jesus is telling us today, my Father wants you to act kingdomly in this worldly world. And it starts by letting go of what we think is important and finding out what's important with God in scriptures. And isn't it just wonderful that Jesus says, come to me. I will give you rest. You don't have to come to me with anything. I have everything you need. Jesus Christ on the cross turns to the thief on the cross that says, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. He says, I will. For today you will be with me in paradise. That thief had nothing. That thief was working from a negative, really, in life in front of Jesus. Beloved, those that follow Jesus, we've seen in scriptures, there are those that struggle to follow Jesus, and there are those who immediately follow Jesus. Let me just give you a quick summary of those that struggled to follow Jesus. The young rich man who felt he did all the commandments, remember him? Struggled to follow Jesus because he held highly to what? His wealth. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they struggled to follow Jesus. They actually vowed to bring him down. Why didn't they follow him? Except one. But that one came to him in late evening, Nicodemus, right? Why did they not follow? Because they thought they knew better. They were educated. They knew the word. They thought that they were the ones to be listened to. Pride was getting in the way. You know, even James, the sibling of Jesus Christ, struggled to believe in his brother. Didn't believe in him until he resurrected. Sometimes our family members won't believe you or me or Jesus. And it's quite sad because we see all the walls that people build between them and a relationship with Jesus. And so in prayer, in thinking of these things, let us pray that God breaks whatever is in their way. I will close with this. Those who didn't struggle following Jesus, who were they? Children. Who else followed Jesus right away? Who? The blind man. Who? Zacchaeus. I'm telling you, I think he was Filipino. The disciples forsook everything. They just dropped their nets, right? How about the outcast, the woman at the well, the prostitute, the person that was surrounded by people that wanted to throw stones at her? How about Peter after denying Jesus three times, ashamed, didn't feel worthy of Jesus Christ? Jesus said, do you love me? And maybe he's actually saying that to you today. Do you love me? Will you be like a child and receive my love that I have for you? No wonder one of the basic terms for anyone that believes in God is what? The children of God. A child of God. Children, thank you so much. Thank you so much for taking a part of this family service. And I will close with this. This moment is for us today. The question is, how will this family service challenge or release you from our daily pressures of every day? Fathers, will you change because of God's scriptures and what you saw today? Mothers, will you worry less? Will you trust more? Grandparents, will you remind your children, see, they should just be kids. Let them be kids. In our small groups, remember we talked about maybe letting kids make mistakes, but not too horrible mistakes maybe, right? But it is just so beautiful. I want us to just take a deep breath and say, I don't need to be anyone else before God. Because God says, I want you, Jesher. I want who you are. I want you dependent on me. You don't have to have had climb Mount Everest. You don't have to have a fix cancer, cure cancer. You don't have had the biggest account. No, no, no. It doesn't matter who you are in life. That's the beautiful thing about it. You don't even have to move your ears, or the ability to move your ears. And God says, come to me. I see, some of you are doing it too. So before we sing our last two songs, why don't we bow our heads and close our eyes? Our Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for your love and for your goodness. I thank you, God, that you've taught us, and may you continue to teach us through children and their faith and their ability to be joyful and to trust. And may we, oh God, just appreciate that this church loves the children and are ministering to them wonderfully. God, I want to thank you for the hospitality of this church, showing so much love to our children and to my family. God, I pray that this wouldn't be the last that I see of this church, but thank you for working so wonderfully in this church over the years and establishing your purpose and your will in the lives of the people in this church. Thank you for their elders, their deacons. Thank you for the people that lead in singing and play instruments, those that lead in small groups, those that host, those that serve, those that bring soup on a day like this. Thank you for everyone. Thank you for this church. Thank you for our children as well. And thank you, God, for your love. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Children, can you do one more thing? I want you to, in the count of three, say, thank you, church, because this church cares about you and is serving you beautifully. Ready? On the count of three, say, thank you, church. One, two, three. Thank you, church. That's awesome. Shall we close? Let's all stand and let's sing The Lord's My Shepherd. It's number 1008 in your books.